there are all kinds of ways in which we have the imagery of holding fast, staying connected, you know, and having that kind of impact. You know the commercial about the cell phone, can you hear me now? You know, and you have this service that is supposed to be so worldwide and global and so that you can stay connected. You have Facebook, you can stay connected. You have Snapchat and Instagram and all these apps, okay, which I have no clue about, that you can stay connected to one another. But here's the dilemma. As in the days when the letter to the Hebrews was written, people make intentional choices. It's not just a slip here and there. You know, it's not just like I did with LWML Sunday, I forgot, okay? But they intentionally make a choice to disconnect. Because whatever they want to be connected to looks really good. It seems better, more powerful, more important, more beneficial. It seems like something. So Paul saw this, and God put this word on his heart to write down these words, and that's what you have in your second reading. Why is it, and how is it, that not only do we hold fast, but that Christ holds on to us? We know that we hold on by faith. We know that Christ holds on to us by power and authority and love. We know that we hold on because this is our salvation. Christ holds on to us because he knows there's no other solution that works but him alone. He even tells us that in the scriptures. I came to lay down my life. He knows this is it. So in that context, listen to the first few verses again. For this reason, it is necessary for us to pay ever-increasing attention to the things that we have heard so that we are not all swept adrift. For if the word that was spoken through the angels was valid, and every transgression and disobedience received just payment, how shall we ourselves escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which, after receiving its foundation by being spoken through the Lord, was a validation for us by those who heard him? With God, according to his will, also corroborating the testimony with signs and wonders and various acts of empowerment and allocations of the Holy Spirit. What we see in these verses and following is, as God creates faith in our hearts, what happens so that we do this ever-increasing paying attention? Now, paying attention, this phrase, this admonition, if you will, is a word or a phrase that applied to the students and their teacher. The students are to pay attention in class. Did y'all ever hear that in school? Come on, kids, pay attention, right? I did. I didn't listen, but I heard it, okay? And your parents tell you that as they're raising you up and teaching you how to do things and how to take care of yourself. Your parents would tell you, pay attention. The angels said it. Do not be afraid. I have good news for you. They said that to the shepherds. And in a way, it was like they said, hey guys, pay attention. Christ said it to the disciples. He would go teach, right, to the crowd, and he would tell a parable or a message. And then the disciples would go, Jesus, we didn't get it. Right? I wondered if he ever rolled his eyes at them. You know. And then he would explain the parable of the sower. And on in the scriptures, it tells them, he wanted them to pay attention so that they would know, that they would believe. When Jesus talked about how he would suffer and die, remember Peter's basically said, over my dead body, you know, I'm not going to allow that. And Jesus strictly, clearly said, pay attention by telling him to get behind him, Satan, because you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Pay attention. And then the Holy Spirit, the creator, the sustainer of faith, is always reaching out to us. And haven't you ever done anything wrong? And then afterwards you said, you know, something was bothering me about this. You know, I just couldn't put my finger on it. I should have listened. And on it goes. Because we didn't pay attention. So how is it, by the grace of God, that we pay attention? And it's just that. There is no other message under the blue skies on earth or a cloudy, rainy day. There is no other message on earth by which we will be saved. There is no other message that clearly grants forgiveness of sins, unconditional love, and eternal hope. There is no other truth that talks about the payment that's been made for the sins of all. As Hebrews says, you know, that just payment. There is no other price that pays adequately or accurately for what you and I have done, what we have thought, and what we refused to do, and that too was wrong. There is no other payment than Jesus. So what's the problem? And the problem is, we tend to like other ideas. And in our world today, that's as current news as almost in the Old Testament. Remember how people were described in the Old Testament and about their relationship with God? You know, there was the lip service. You know, we honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from me. There was that. There was the rebellion. Remember the Tower of Babel? You know, they were going to build that tower and they were going to look God in the eye. Yeah. And then we can tell him. Yeah. And that's just it. The people in the Old Testament thought they could be equal with God. Does that sound anything familiar to today? Yeah. And then the people in the Old Testament didn't want the truth, and so they manufactured their own truth. And it got so bad that there was no truth whatsoever. And in the days of Noah, God sent a flood. He had said enough of that. The wickedness was so bad, the rebellion was so clear and prominent, that God sent a flood. And after that, he said, I won't do it again. But our world, I wonder if we have almost reached that level of wickedness. How much truthfulness is there among man? How much love is there among the community? How much respect and honor is there given to God's word? How much is there more like listening to science and philosophy and other myths instead of listening to the prophets, listening to the apostles? We turn away from God's word, and sometimes it doesn't take much of a shove. We like this new world thinking. We like where you can be all that you want to be. It's almost the military slogan, but it seems like the secular world has taken over that, and you can redefine yourself any way you want. Long time ago, there was a book written. Remember, you might recall the book. I don't know if you read it. I'm okay, you're okay. Do you remember that? I think the slogan is today, I'm okay and I don't care about you. Right? Because you don't matter. I am free to be the sinful me I want to be. And the Word of God comes to God's people. And it says, why would you want to make that kind of choice? Why would you want to hold onto that kind of thinking? Why would you prefer any other solution than the one that really works? The one that God says works. And so the encouragement for us today is to pay ever-increasing attention. And that means, in a sense, every time we confess our sins, we get to come before God and we get to be reminded of all the things that we didn't learn in confirmation that we should have. Right? All the things the Ten Commandments said don't do. You know, and all of that means, you know, we say, Father, we have sinned against you. We have broken your Ten Commandments. We should have learned what it meant. But instead, we're paying the price for what we did. And the gospel comes to us and says, but you're not paying the eternal price. For that has been paid. You break a window, it will cost you. You punch somebody in the nose and get arrested, it will cost you. But before God, your sins are forgiven, and it does not cost you. Now, I don't recommend you break windows and punch noses. Please, please understand that. That's my disclaimer for today. But what we do know is that by paying attention, we understand why by faith we hold on to the gospel ever so much more. And the older we get, this is true for you young pups, okay? The older we get, the more we begin to grasp by the power of the Holy Spirit the power of salvation. For the older I get, and the more my bones ache, and the more my memory fades, and the more my recollection becomes harder, the more I am older and feeble and weaker, I realize how strong our God is. When I was young, maybe like you, I thought I could do almost anything. I tried a few of those. It wasn't pretty. But as you age, in this earthly time, we begin to behold, why is it I hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then at this point in my personal journey, where I have said goodbye to Gwen's parents, and I have said goodbye to my parents, and, you know, other people that I really cared about, I begin to understand and ever more hold on to the promise and to the power of the gospel. And I look at the silliness, the foolishness, and bluntly, the stupidity of our world, and it saddens me. And I think Paul saw that in his letter to the Hebrews, that they were making these kinds of choices that we see today. And he was trying to tell them, you don't have to do that. And when they asked why, you know, it says we have a cloud of witnesses. And just a few of them were named. The angels were there on Mount Sinai. Did you know that? Look up Deuteronomy chapter 33, I believe it is. The angels were there. You don't have to do that. Why? Because the prophets told about the Messiah hundreds of years before the Messiah was ever born. And were they accurate? He kept every promise God said. And the disciples, they were there. They saw, they wrote. By the power and the grace of God, they recorded it for us so that we could read their testimony, the testimony of God's word. And ever since then, believers have lived from one generation to another, and we have learned from them. I hope we have learned that God's power is real, and that there have been healings, and there have been strengthening, and people persevered when it was unexplainable. This is the message that our salvation says to hold on to. The message that our sins are forgiven, the devil loses, sin is paid for, death has no hold. And when Christ comes, when he comes, not if he comes, when he comes, all believers will be gathered in God's eternal kingdom forever. That's cool, isn't it? Yeah. So when you're distracted, put that picture in front of you. When you want to give up on God because you thought he gave up on you, put that picture in front of you that Christ is coming for you. And hold fast to the promise of that. By God's grace, hold fast. Amen.